will automatically become a devotee and will be able to return back to Godhead in this very life. Although Bharat Maharaj acquired the body of a deer, he again left his heart and home, in this case the mountain Kalanjar. No one should be captivated by his birthplace and family. One should take shelter of the association of devotees and cultivate Krishna consciousness.
Omakyanatikrandasya jnananjana shalakaya takshurum ripandeyatasvai shri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya amana vishtan sāpatamena bhutale sanurupa kalame amdalati sohapalantikam. Hare Krishna karuna sindhu dena bandhu jirapate gopesha gopika kandarana kantaramasute. Tapta kantena gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshuri vrishabham shudhete vikranavami. श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे
And particular verse which we are at, verse number 30, he takes three very important steps, and that's the bounce back moment basically for the leader at this stage. And from the verse, you know, the three steps he is taking, he takes more steps in the next verse, I will describe more, but in this particular verse, three major steps he takes, which we try to see in our lives, whatever way it's practical, that when we feel down, or when we feel weak in our spiritual lives, or when we feel that we have actually fallen down and made some major mistakes. Now, these three things can help. It may not apply to everyone at any given time, but whatever we can take home from these three instructions, these three steps we took will be helpful. So, I will just quickly tell the three steps and then we will one by one discuss on that. So, the three steps it takes from the verse itself, we will see that Bharat Maharaj has received about you for dinner. So the first step he took was by constant repentance. He became completely detached from material things. His repentance was his first step. When we know a mistake is done, to repent is natural for someone who is sane. To repent is natural for someone who previously knew what is right. And due to some influence, he has done some, or she has done some mistake. So that repentance is very, very healthy. Second step he took, which in his case was necessary, but may not be necessary for everyone, was that he left his mother in the mountain wherever he was, and he went to the sages' ashram. Imagine a deer leaving the mother deer and just going to this and staying to the sage's ashram. It's a deer. But his remembrance was so strong and his repentance was so strong that his material attachment just finished. And he wanted to be with the sages. So he gave up his family attachment and attachment to the place of birth. Now this particular point must be understood in proper context, because this can create havoc and unnecessary anxiety in families if not taken properly. Because when we talk about spirituality, for many people, especially coming from India, it comes with a very commonly misunderstood fear. And that fear is that, oh, more you are spiritual, more you run away from family duties. That's not true. So it has to be understood in proper context, and we'll come to that later. So the third step he took was, he, after leaving his place of birth and his family, he very closely associated with the sages. That is, very close association of devotees, he decided to take. And he visited the ashram of Pulava and Pulatsya Rishi in Saligram Forest, Saligram Ashram Forest. So the first step, repentance, is, if actually carefully observe, when we understand that a mistake is done and we begin to repent, when the first time we repent, we feel so strong after a serious repentance being performed. We feel very strong to not do the mistake again. And repentance is very much coupled with the feeling of guilt. And that's why one repents. This one is feeling guilty of the mistake or blunder one has done. So this we have discussed before also, that when we do a mistake and we feel guilty about something, if that time a very serious decision is taken, or a very important, observing our spiritual life very carefully under the guidance of devotees, that is applied during the first period of repentance, one can really stand up again and walk on the path of bhakti. Because the problem is, the mind is such a faculty within us that more we give ourselves opportunity to continuously repent, by doing mistake, repenting, then again doing mistake, repenting, again doing mistake, repenting, the feeling of guilt reduces. First time when you do a mistake, you feel so bad that you can't even eat, you can't even sleep. And then fifth, sixth, seventh time when you do the same mistake, it feels natural. And the feeling is not there that, no, this my life is useless. We don't feel that. So it's a very healthy feeling. To feel repentant is very, very healthy. Some people say, you know, very interesting pastime comes from Ramayana, where we know Ram kidnapped Mother Sita. And then when Ram kidnapped Mother Sita, and so many people's lives were at stake, both sides, Ram's side and Ravana's side. And many people on Ram's side were also giving him good advice. Majority were not, but some were. Vibhishan was the prime person who was giving him good advice, he was kicked out, but still other people also gave him. Even Kumbhakaran gave him good advice. But Kumbhakaran was very loyal to Ravana. So he fought on the side of Ravana, but he still gave good advice at the time of Sita. Still chances there at the time. Because Lord Ram had declared that even if now, even between the battle, many soldiers, maybe few millions of soldiers have been killed already, he said, even if now Ram comes and repents, I'll forgive. So one of the ministers of Ravana, when Kumbhakarna was speaking to Ravana and he saw Ravana's fever going down, he spoke a very interesting thing. He said that it is the duty of a person to make sure that he is happy. It is the duty of an individual to do anything what gives him happiness. And Ravana has done the same. If kidnapping Mother Sita gives him happiness, and he has done the same, and there is no mistake on Ram's part, do not ask him to repent. So this is a demonic mentality, demonic friendship. So when Kumbhakarna saw that his attempts are useless, he said, okay, I'll die for you because I am loyal to you. But Kumbhakarna actually gave good advice, but Ram's mates gave him something else. Some other level of advice. So, we'll come to the association part later. But very important, it's very, very healthy to repent. Srila Prabhupada, in few of his conversations, letter, he very strongly speaks about repentance. And in some places, he criticizes very heavily Christian way of repentance, in which 6 days we perform all sinful activities, on 7th day we go to the confession box, repent your heart out completely, express all the mistakes and blunders you have done in the confession box to the person who is sitting inside, and you feel that I have unloaded myself completely, no more sinful reactions anymore, I can start again from tomorrow. So when that happens, Prabhupada was very strong about that, that it is useless repentance. Such forgiveness, such seeking forgiveness is useless labor from the person who is asking and the priest sitting inside. Even in some cases it has happened that the priest inside the box has exploited the person who has revealed the secrets to the priest. So some girls and all them given their secrets, they have asked, they have actually even exploited physically, financially, because they revealed the secret to the priest. So it's a very messed up system. Scriptures are not encouraging such repentance. Hidden and Maharaj in one conversation asked Prabhupada that Prabhupada, you are saying by committing sinful activities, one will be punished by laws of nature. So what if one is repentant? Is he still punished? Prabhupada said, yes, provided he is actually repentant, then he is not punished. Then Hidden and Maharaj says, so then he is not punished at all? Prabhupada said, punished, but shortcut. Little punishment. In Prabhupada quotes from Sunita Kalmani, they are thinking, Kucha Bhakti Mahayana. And Prabhupada says, shortcut, a token, punishment only for devotees, after repentance, not for all devotees. Prabhupada says, non devotees must be punished. Because there is no process of purification alongside feeling repentant. Rupa Swami, Nectar Devotion, says, Bhakti Sanat Sindhu, He says that we don't have to go through the whole cycle of prayaschitta, whole cycle of repentance, and devotee doesn't have to go through the whole cycle of prayaschitta by performing great sacrifices, by performing huge donations, giving charity. What devotee has to do is if he is walking on the path of bhakti and he, due to some mistake, falls down, only thing he has to do while he is walking on the path of bhakti, and if he falls down, he just gets up and starts walking again. Basically, if you have, due to some mistake, we have stopped our devotional practice, get up and start practicing again. Why? Because the devotional practice itself is a prayaschitta. Itself is a purifying. We have all the purifying potencies. In one letter to one devotee, Ekeshwara Prabhupada says, Ekeshwara Prabhupada has revealed his heart, what all mistake he has done, his fall down, he has explained. And Prabhupada says, yes, two things. He says, revive rigidly the devotional practice, very strongly come back and practice the devotional life. And then second says, be repentant. Then Krishna may be pleased to excuse you. Then he says, you must be repentant. Very strong. Ajami Swastika is a very classic one when it comes to repentance. In one of the lectures, the Prabhupada says that I really like this particular quote. He says, if a previous habit, one commits some mistake or falls down, that is excuse. One should be repentant. Saying what? My dear Lord, I have committed this offense. Please excuse me. And one should fast. One should be very much repentant. Then Krishna is so kind that he hasn't got to take to prayaschitta, or what is called atonement system. A devotee hasn't got to do that. A devotee's sinful activity is excused. If he is repentant, then again he is elevated to the original position, that is the verdict of all the Shastras. It is powerful. But only thing is, can't they ever tell this? Because Krishna is the greatest teacher, it's very hard to cheat him. Now, Rupindas Thakur's very classic prayer of repentance is, Hari Hari Vipule Janamandavayana Manushya Janama Paila Adha Krishna Jani Sunya Vishakaila. So the Prabhupada says in one of the purports that that's a prayer of repentance, that, oh Hari, I have uselessly wasted my human life. By so much good fortune, I got this human form of life and I wasted it in just sense enjoyment. Janya Sunya, knowingly I am drinking poison but not worshipping Radha and Krishna. Very interesting. So that's where there is a lot to say about repentance, but we'll discuss other aspects also now. But it's very, very important that we utilize this very powerful process of praying in front of the deities and repenting and opening our hearts out to all the mistakes and matters we are doing, and try our level best not to repeat it. But that can only happen if execution of devotional service happens very strictly after that. Ram said that. And we always have to remember one thing, that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Father, is so kind that He is always waiting to forgive. Only requirement is we are very sincere and not committing that mistake. Like one devotee was mentioning once, that we don't have that much capacity within us to do such a mistake that Krishna gives upon us. He leaves us. We have no capacity to do that very simple activity that Krishna says, that from now on I leave you. I don't care about you. I just give up on you. We cannot do that much. That much time the Supreme Lord is. Only thing he's looking for is a sincere attempt. And we see Bharat Maharaj, oh God, body of a deer, he is in the body of a deer. But just that kind aspect, kind nature of Krishna. The first line of the purport Srila Prabhupada says, it is significant that Bharat Maharaj, by the grace of Vasudev, remembered his past life. So Krishna's grace is there that he could remember his past life. Second step which Bharat Maharaj as a deer took was he left his mother and the place of birth. Now this has to be really, really taken in proper context. Any whimsical action, artificial image of action will create distress which would have been very easily avoided. Some people, they decide they want to join Brahmacharya Ashram. They could have actually done it peacefully. Or to go less than the, they could have caused less respect to the family. But such agitation is made that practically the whole family is disturbed. I remember when I joined the ashram and I spoke to my spiritual master. If I'm not wrong, at least 7 to 8 times in every call I spoke to him, he told me one single thing. Be nice to your mother, be nice to your mother. Every time he would repeat it. First two, three times he told me I didn't even register it. Like, why is he telling me this? And I would fight and I would argue. But when it struck me that I would be nice to your mother, because thinking from her point of view, I am moving to the temple full time. She must meet me. So my being nice to her made her feel that she is not losing her son. And her son is with her, but it's just that I may not live a life of a normal person who is working. The rest everything is same, and that is still same. It's been so many years now, and practically we have a very cordial, very nice relationship. And those instructions help me. You know, of course, everyone is not recommended to take Jnana Ashram or whatever, but. When it comes, what we see sometimes devotees, they feel very weak. They feel very, very weak to even ignore some instructions which come from family members which may not be very beneficial for our spiritual progress. And remember there was a boy who was staying with us in Bangalore quite a few years, like maybe 8-9 years back. And very good boy, very nicely practicing. Chanting 16 rounds, everything he was doing, like a standard devotee is doing. Then we told him, okay, you wear Kantiwala. Just wear Tulsiwala. And then he asked his mother and mother's mother. And you know, when you are new, you hear one statement from the temple, you want to quickly copy paste, add your own addition, and then stick it to the family what you heard. And very, very elaborate, really exciting. We think that we are really trying to save our family, or the family who is sitting in India, who cannot see what is happening here, how happily you are living, how much care you are in association with devotees, how much change there is in your life. They just see that, oh, my son is becoming a Baba or a Sadhu, and they get scared. Why? Because when we call back our home, our families, we speak to them in such a way that your son has become a Paramahansa at their stage. And we speak to them really, really instructive way, and family really gets scared. So many cases we have seen. Including my own, I would tell you, this 3-4 days old I was as a devotee. And I started giving big lecture. My mom and my mother were so scared. The devotee had to chastise me. She called the devotee 3 days before he was not born. Now he's speaking all these big, big things. I just say I heard Chitra Guru pastime in the class, and I told my mother I was going late home, and after the temple I was speaking to a devotee asking many questions. So 2-3 days went like that. I was going late, 2-3 hours late, and the mother just casually told me, you don't have parents, you're coming late, like mothers would say. And I just said, which parents are you talking about? which life parents are you talking about? Because I heard the story of Chitra Guru who said the same thing to his parents. In which life you have parents, with every life parents change. And mother said, because she forced me to go to temple, I'm not going. She pushed me to attend that program, those classes. And my mother thought, was that right decision? She pushed me. What am I thinking? Then she called the devotee. Devotee came to home and he just chastised me so much. You want to teach your parents? But not they. And he told me, once you have finished teaching to the whole world, then come to your parents and teach them. Will then give him out shut. So we can do it individually because we think we are in the right stages. careful in not just taking and accepting any and every instruction which comes from the family on spiritual journey. So this boy's mother just got scared because of his behavior or whatever. And she told him, no, no, you don't wear Pandimala. And you are convincing him, what is wrong with Pandimala? It's not that you are leaving your job, your family here. Just what you do live his normal life again. But his mother was so scared that, and he could not give a right information, properly explain what is happening here. Then within a month, he reduced the chanting. In 2 to 3 months, he left the association of devotees completely, and now he is a Janmashtami visitor. Once or twice a year, he comes to temple, and he has a family, kids, and everything is doing. So what he did was that, I actually even spoke to him, we were discussing, I said, you are an ID, and you are this housewife. When you have IT programming difficulties, will you ask your mother to give a solution? You go to an expert in that subject, in that field, right? So when such decisions are taken, when the decisions are about your spiritual life, why not seek guidance from someone who is expert in that field? Now you will not, you know, when it comes to your real estate problem, you will not involve your mother or father if they are not expert in that area. You will seek guidance from an expert person who knows how to solve his own issues. When it comes to spiritual life, why just fall into the trap? Unless they are expert. If they are expert to give guidance, one should take. That's the best way. Because parents, as naturally, they are the first person in this world around us who are most affectionate to us, who loves us as selflessly as possible in this material world our parents. And if in that selfless love they have expert information on the subject matter, nothing better than that. So if parents are spiritually very enlightened, then their guidance must be taken at any cost, because there is love, care, affection and knowledge about the subject matter also. But if that is not there, then one should take guidance of someone who knows about the subject matter. And that's why it gives responsibility to parents also, that they should know about spiritual life to help their own children, actually, very important. So, one of my auntie, her son started taking the courses, became a devotee, and he was doing nicely, but somehow, again with his, mostly it's our mistake, the way we speak to our family, they get scared. Because they just love us. They just want to see us protected and cared for. So they just thought she was scared. And I remember I was sitting there and she thought, oh, he was so naughty, he was so spoiled before. I asked him to go to temple. Now he became a devotee. Looks like I have done a sinful activity by sending him to temple and made him a devotee. Oh, it's a sin I did because he's acting very weird with me as a mother. And she kept on saying that this started affecting the devotee because he was not in association of devotee, my cousin. He was not in association of devotee, and those actions from the mother side, or the family side, affected him so much that currently he does everything possible to think of. He was very nicely practicing devotee, even in his whatever he does. And now the mother actually says, no, this is the sin I've done. By taking away from us, because now she suffers. When he drinks and comes home, now she feels the pain. So, very, very, very important to understand from family's point of view also, from our point of view also, to have this proper understanding on how to help each other in our spiritual progress. When all our parents, they come here, their anxiety is gone. When they see, oh, so much nice prasadam, so much care, so much practical, guidance is there, and majority of them are watching their career and their studies. They are very relaxed. Parents are very relaxed. So, but here, Bharat Maharaj had only one option: leave his dear mother and go, because he was on a very advanced realized platform. He could do that. He did not disclose his heart to anyone, and he left. So, disclosing the heart is another very important factor. One has to learn that whom we have to disclose our heart to. make a very man whom should be really disclose our heart to. Because as soon as we disclose our heart to someone, we are actually giving them a key to manipulate, to really change, to really interfere. As soon as we give, as soon as we reveal our heart to someone in confidence, we give them a chance to deal with my open wound. And now if that person is not a good surgeon or a doctor, he can create, increase the problem. So one has to be very careful in whom to reveal the heart to. And proper guidance must be taken. These are very simple things we hear quite often, but it is a very, very powerful lesson to learn from. In Bhagavatam, 10th canto, there is a verse. Yashyatma buddhi punapetri dhatipi padhi palitramishu bhavan hichati yatrita buddhi salineya kanhiti janeshu amigneshu satyeva gokhara. Says, one who identifies himself as an inert body composed of mucus, bile and air, who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks an earthen image or the land of his birth is worshipable, or who sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies himself with or feels kinship with or worships or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than a cow or an ass. Simply explained, one of the things, his body is everything. And one of the things, his wife or family are permanently going to be his. You know, there are two realities we are living with. One is temporary reality, one is permanent reality. And for both, we have to perform our duties properly. For our temporary reality is our relationship with this life we have, 50, 60, 70 years, to our family, to our children, to our society, to our nation, whatever. And then there is a permanent reality, which is one life after another we are going, as soul we are moving from one body to another, and our relationship with the Supreme Lord is unchanging. So that's our permanent reality. So there are two realities, one is temporary reality, one is permanent reality. Many people would choose, materially speaking, just to deal with the temporary reality. And they wonder why I am suffering. What is the cause of me being unhappy? But very few sane people would choose to deal with both the realities simultaneously. To deal with my permanent reality, which is my spiritual reality, and my temporary reality, which is the duties of my body and mind, related to society and family. And amongst the very few, hardly anyone would wholly, solely focus on this moment daily. And that's very, very important. We will not talk about that. But for us, it's very important that we focus on this temporary and permanent reality simultaneously. That means, not being irresponsible when it comes to family duty or work duties. And simultaneously, not being irresponsible to our duties towards the Supreme Lord, which is our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. That's why very important. But someone who cannot figure this out and who thinks the family and the wife and her husband and her children are permanently his own, who thinks earthen image of the land of birth where he has taken birth is worshipable, Pakistan, Mughal, Hindustan, Zimbabwe. One who is living by it, one whose existence is just this, who sees a place of pilgrimage only for his Haridwar. We'll go, why? We'll take bath in Yamuna. Vrindavan will go, why? We'll take bath in Yamuna. And that's what the holy place is all about. Such a person. And who never feels kinship or friendship, and who wants to associate with devotees there, Bhagavan says, such a person is no better than a cow or a donkey. Why? Such words are used, cow or donkey, because they tell intelligence. So very important, very strong words. You see, how many wars have been fought just for the place of birth? Maybe someone is 40 years old and he is ready to kill millions just for the place of birth. Who knows this 41 years before he was in the other country? We are ready to kill Pakistan, Mudawa, Can we guarantee next one will not take birth in Pakistan? Or our daily cycle is not in Pakistan? So much attached to the place of birth. And we say, what Pakistan people say? My country is very great. It is not great because it is great. It is great because we have taken birth there. That's why it's great. If we were to take birth in another country, that would have been great. So greatness is so relative. Here the greatness is just based on me taking birth. It's a very self-centered identity. It's a very bodily identified situation. There is no spirituality in it. And that's why those who are patriotic, it's fine, it's good. But those who are overly patriotic, who are fanatic about it, it's a problem. It's a disease to be dealt with carefully. The last step Bharat Maharaj took as a leader was that he went back in a very close association of devotees in the Kula Ashram of Puna, Kula Mahapur Seminary. And Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad is exactly referring to that association is very meaningful. Therefore, it's called class to perfect one who enters the society. The members of the society should always remember that society is not a free country. I was really thinking about that. Prabhupada making a statement, what he means by this free hotel. Free hotel in Indian is Dharamshala. Actually, the word is Dharamshala. So, remember that it's not a free hotel. And then the next time he clarifies what he means, then all the members should be very careful to execute their spiritual duties so that whoever comes will automatically become a devotee. And what happens then? He returns back and back to the world also. So when we are in this temple, we are either living in the temple, we are closely associated with the temple, regularly listening. And if we are very much performing our duties, our spiritual activities properly, very enthusiastic about Harinam, very enthusiastic about Kirtan, about preaching, about service, about taking care of each other in the community of devotees. When someone from outside visits and sees, oh, such a spiritual atmosphere, so much centered around hearing and chanting about Krishna, so much cordial relationship amongst devotees, no politics, just by their atmosphere only, it really rubs on them and they really get inspired to themselves also become a devotee. But what happens? Their life gets perfect. But the ownership is on us. Ownership is on us. How long will we resist? We have to act like first of us. Many of us, all of us. Prabhupada says, for one who is too much attached, in 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in verse number 6, he says, it's a very interesting Prabhupada, he says, for one who is too much attached to this material world, it is very difficult to cut that attachment. But if he takes the Krishna consciousness, there is a chance of gradually becoming detached. One has to associate himself with devotees, those who have Krishna consciousness. Then what one has to do? One should search out a society dedicated to Krishna consciousness and learn how to extract devotional service. In this way, he can cut off this attachment to material world. We have to search out a society of devotees. And that's what one of the reasons for our form this form in such a way what we have now. That it's very easy for people to come to a place where the center is hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord. And this is one of the key attractions in any ISKCON temple when people visit as guests, when we visited as guests in many years back. Our attraction was not any glamour or propaganda. Our attraction was how beautiful the deities are dressed, how nice the prasad is, and amazing kirtan. These two, three things really attract the heart. And if that continues, we continue attracting the heart of people who are suffering and it will change people's life. Next slide, Prabhupada says really it's very important and interesting. He says one cannot become detached from the attraction of material life simply by dressing himself in satin cloth. He must become attached to the emotional service of the Lord. So, this is the person we need. This external show will not help. Things are much deeper. Has to be dealt deeply. So, potentially, I just want to mention 2 points, and then we'll conclude. That if, as a devotee, we are fearful of 2 things, it will protect us with time. And those 2 things are, first is that no matter what happens, we should not go away from the association of devotees. We should not distance ourselves from devotee association. That's one thing. Second is, we should not act in such a way that there is no devotee around me who is concerned about me. It's a very important point if you get to know the world. Many times we create such an aura around us. That aura is called touch me not aura. Touch me not touch me. There is a plant, you know, you touch it, closes. Don't touch me. So we create a, such an atmosphere, such a feel around us that nobody tells anything. People are scared. And our behavior is such, our behavior is so self-centered all the time that there is no devotee surrounding, there is no devotee around me who is concerned, oh, what should I do for such and such person so that such and such person advances to the truth. And how amazing it is. Imagine we are sitting here and there are 2-3 devotees concerned and worrying about how to help this person. It's such a life, you know. It's, there are people who are worried about us. But how that will happen? That can only happen when we serve them and they have gratitude towards us. Devotees by nature are very compassionate. So they will continue to take care and show their concern for us. But with that compassion, if our selfless service is there, where we are trying to serve each other, that will create feeling of gratitude amongst them. One of the qualities which Krishna has amongst his 64 qualities is that he is very grateful. He is grateful of what? Any tiny service done to the Supreme Lord Krishna is very, very grateful. So similarly, devotees also have that quality that anything tiny done to them, in serving them, in helping them, is they feel very, very grateful. And what happens when a devotee feels grateful? He will try to serve also. And if advanced senior devotees are there, their service is to see that we advance spiritually. So, but imagine, we act in a very odd way and in such a way that there is nobody concerned. Just thinking yourself, I feel fearful. There is nobody concerned about my progress. Nobody. Neither my fellow devotees, neither my senior devotees, neither my spiritual ones. So nobody is concerned of such and such person should grow spiritually. And we see so many people who visit temple and after some time they just disappear. Out of sight naturally goes out of mind. And years pass and nobody even asks about them. They know so many people, right? After 5-10 years, they say, no, where were you? Nobody even thought about that person. Devotees want to think, devotees want to take care of each other. But when we from our side continue to serve them, then that feeling of gratitude mixed with the feeling of compassion is very beneficial for us. So one should continue doing that actually. So these are a few of the points I thought we'll discuss from this verse, some of the lessons from the life of Maharaj in the form of 48. So I'll stop with if any questions or comments anyone has. Beginning, then our determination is on the highest scale. That time if you strike, hit back, bounce back, really take advantage of that feeling of guilt we have, it's very, very easy to deal with the problem. Because we know it's a mistake I'm doing. We know it's a mistake I'm doing, we just unnecessarily give the opportunity to the mind to again take over and don't take over great actions. So it's very good to do. But it's the more we delay, it's a problem for us. Anything else?